John Adams famously said that our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Well, fast forward to today, and we see rampant immorality, sometimes even promoted in some churches. The American Family Association writes, quote, "A recent Barna study revealed that traditional biblical ideology isn't even safe in the American church. Researchers found that a large number of adults who regularly attend church are abandoning traditional conservative perspectives on social and political issues amid a firm disinterest in a biblical worldview. The abandonment of a traditional worldview within the church is cause for extreme alarm, according to many faith leaders," end quote. Jenna Ellis is the Senior Advisor of Public Policy for the American Family Association, and she joins us now. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Jenna, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. I always appreciate it, especially on important topics like this.
Sure. And that quote I gave from John Adams, why don't we start with that? Because I know you are familiar with the Founding Fathers and the Constitution and what they expected for our republic to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that quote is so timely for us to understand American government in context of the founding and why conservatism, when we understand what it is we're conserving, is the institutions that God ordained, the church government, the family government, and also a legitimate civil government that recognizes God's ultimate authority over those institutions he created. And so when John Adams and other founders were talking about the American system of government is only for a moral and religious people, it's wholly inadequate for any other, what he's talking about is the facets of self-government that are embedded in our society. We have a lot of freedoms comparatively with other government systems, but that only works when we are self-motivated to self-govern according to the morality that the laws of nature and of nature's God describe and proscribe. And so if we abandon moral virtue and we essentially abandon the freedom to do what we ought, then inevitably the civil government will have to regulate and more harshly punish those who do objective evil. And that's the crossroads that we're facing right now in America when we look even at recent headlines of the horrific murders of Rob Reiner and his wife, allegedly by their own son. We saw another murder of a prominent singer at Grace Community Church in California, allegedly at the hands of his own son as well. And you look at the campus shooting at Brown University, I mean, just so many examples after example after example of horrific violence that's taking place even in America. And we wonder, well, what's happening to our society? It's that our society has abandoned God. And with that, the understanding that self-government means self-restraint and moral virtue and the freedom, not just to do what we want, but the freedom to do what we ought.
Okay, how about if you describe God's design for the family, because that's where a lot of this is breaking down, God's design for the family versus what we see in contemporary America, and how do we turn this around? God's design for the family.
Yeah, well, that goes right back to Genesis. When God created the institution of the family, he said, first in Genesis 1:27, God created a man in his own image, and he created them male and female, first of all. So we have immutable characteristics as being made in the image of God as human beings. And then we also have our gender, our sex, which is immutable. We are made either male or female. God chooses our gender. We don't have self-determination otherwise. And then we see in Genesis 2 that for this reason, man shall leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. And so the institution of marriage between one man and one woman is God's design for the family. And within the context of that family, then natural law that God himself ordained says that one man and one woman is the only context for which children can be born. And children are given to parents, one man and one woman only, to be raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That is God's design for the family. But we have strayed so far from that by believing that we can reinvent and redefine these concepts such as marriage and family and even gender and even things like what it means to be a human being made in God's image. We have to go right back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 to understand the institution of the family, how God ordained it, and why we as human beings have absolutely no ability to redefine it in our image.
You know, it's interesting. This is just an aside related to what you said, how God made us male and female. The whole transgender movement that we've seen in the last decade or so is obviously contrary to that. But in addition to that, there's if we had an honest media, we would see there is a link in many cases between people confused by the transgender agenda and even taking some sort of drugs and so forth. And violence. And so there are different examples of just horrific violence that are being done by people who probably, you know, getting, you know, fouled up in their thinking through these hormone drugs because of the transgender issue.
Oh, absolutely. And as soon as you take any other worldview other than the truth of God and the Bible, then you start devaluing ultimately life. You devalue what it means to be a human being. You devalue marriage. You devalue family. You devalue having children. You even devalue what it means to be made in God's image and have gender as an immutable characteristic. And then with that, the left and the lies of the culture tell you, well, then you need more drugs to deal with your depression. You need more drugs to deal with your gender psychosis. You need more drugs to deal with all of these different other, you know, various things that their psychologists would say, instead of recognizing we don't need more of the lies. We need more of the truth. And the truth is only understanding a reconciled relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel of Christ, which calls us to repent of our sin, repent of all of those false views of humanity and of society, and return to the truth. And that's the only thing that will actually bring us not only joy, but to live rightly in the truth, value human life, and live according to righteousness. And why exactly in this whole conversation, our founder said our Constitution is only for a moral and upright people, because if we do not put on the righteousness of God willingly through our choice and our own self-government, then the civil government will have to come in and restrain the evil that we're seeing in society.
Would you say there's a link between the breakdown of the family and the breakdown of society?
Absolutely. And we can see this through the whole sexual revolution through the 60s and 70s. We can see this through the Supreme Court ushering in basically what they would describe as zero consequences for promiscuity. We've seen this in the rise of the dating without consequence culture, with the lack of young people even understanding what marriage is or wanting to get married with or wanting to get married with no-fault divorce, with the rise of homosexual or same-sex, quote-unquote, marriage. I mean, all of these things have had an inevitable consequence of destroying the fabric of society that is built on the nuclear family, one man, one woman for life. And in the context of marriage, that is the best context to raise children and have a moral and upright society. So if we look back to where this got off track, it is with the breakdown of the family. And when the church decided, and of course there are some good churches, but when pastors writ large went woke and decided to not emphasize biblical marriage, not just traditional, biblical marriage, and accept and embrace the LGBTQ agenda, homosexual marriage, or even this lie that you can be single and pursue a career and you shouldn't pursue God's design for marriage, all of those things then sidelined the church from doing its job of speaking truth into culture and society, and our culture and society is far worse off for it.
You know, this point you made about lack of consequences is really profound. It's basically the culture saying you can sin with impunity, but this is still God's world, and therefore, no, you cannot sin with impunity.
Right. And so this is the secular culture and the godless culture trying to say, okay, with contraceptives, with abortion on demand, we're going to try to remove the consequences for promiscuity, but we know that the consequences of guilt, the consequences of sexually transmitted diseases, the consequences of broken relationships, of, you know, all of the emotional damage of promiscuity, those things, no Supreme Court opinion will ever change, because the truth of God doesn't change. But that's the attempt of this line of leftist policies and politics, is that they're trying to remove the consequence of childbirth from promiscuity. But with that, what they're inevitably doing is not only removing the blessing of a family, but they're actually telling men and women that you shouldn't desire to be husbands and wives and mothers and fathers. And it's leading to so much depression and so much singleness. There is an epidemic of loneliness in our society as well. I mean, if you just have to open any dating app and you see how many people are so lonely, and instead of being told the truth about what they crave, which is a relationship that God ordained first and foremost with Him, a saving knowledge of Him, but then the earthly relationship of a marriage covenant between one man and one woman is God's design. They're not being told that. And even our churches are not promoting that. Even my own home church, I've told my church in Florida that there needs to be a better emphasis on telling the singles in the church that they need to get married and have families, instead of saying, well, you know, don't look for someone. Don't, I mean, we're told, and we borrow in the church all of these lies from the culture to say, stay single for as long as you can, instead of telling young people, no, get married as soon as you can. Start God's plan for your life. Enter into this design. We would never tell young people, oh, don't look for a church. Don't become a member of a church. You know, wait, be single. We tell people, we should at least be telling people, to get involved and be part of the institutions that God ordained. That includes the church and especially the family.
All right. We only have a couple minutes left. I could talk to you all day. How about God's design for the government?
Yeah, this comes from understanding God's authority and His legitimate, limited delegation of authority to the church government for church discipline. That is why Christians individually and as families need to be members of churches and under church authority. That's a separate jurisdiction. Then there is the family jurisdiction, where the husband is the head. Parents are required to disciple their children. And then you have the legitimacy of the civil government, which the church and the family are part of that, but it's a separate jurisdiction. These are things that require due process and punishment for evildoers. We see in Micah 6:8 that the government is called to do justice, to promote justice, restrain evil. That is the legitimacy of the civil government. It's not to tell pastors that they can't preach sermons. It's not to tell individual Christians that you can't stand outside of abortion clinics. It's not to restrain genuine freedom and liberty that comes under self-government, or to restrain the family's legitimate authority or the church's. It's ultimately the civil government's purpose, legitimately, is to restrain evil. And this is what our founders understood, is that the civil government is supposed to be the most limited out of those three institutions, and it is designed that the civil government, if acting legitimately, will enable the church government and the family government to flourish.
Okay, we have only 1 minute left, not even. America at 250. Do you think if we could have a revival of God's design for these various institutions, we would see real flourishing? 40 seconds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this should be the call of every Christian and every pastor. Teach the truth of God. Call us back in revival to the church government, the family government, and we would see more human flourishing in America.
All right. Jenna Ellis, www.afa.net. We still have a 10-second closer if you want.
Well, thanks. I just think that so many people focus too much on the civil government. We need to be focused on the church government and the family government and understand God's design. This means starting with Genesis and going all the way through the counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation.
Jenna Ellis, thanks so much. All the best.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.